God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to guide us. God's word to feed us. God's word to be in our lives is from the epistle lesson. It gets kind of hidden in there, that epistle lesson, the Romans chapter 3. But this is what the apostle Paul writes. And Luther uses this as a guide for our lives as well. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So as we think about God's word, I want you to think about your own life. I want you to think about who you are, because we have this kind of problem in our life. We like to know who we are. We like people to know who we are as well. But sometimes we have this identity crisis going on. We're sometimes like the man who stood up in the American Legion convention and he screamed at the top of his voice, "I want someone to tell me who I am." He was dressed like a veteran, somewhat. He had a navy jacket on. He had pants that were Army, Marine, kind of vintage. He had no name tags. He had no dog tags. When he spilled out the contents of his pockets, there were a few coins that came out. No wallet, no ID, nothing to tell anyone who he was. But he was confused, he was bewildered, and he wanted someone to tell him who he was. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We look and hear those words, and we wonder, do they apply to me as well? Yes. Who am I? I'm a child of God. You are a child of God who has fallen short of God's expectations. God has a standard, and it's a sign. When I used to teach confirmation a few years ago, and I taught this about the righteousness of God, God has a standard. And I said, okay, how high can a human being jump over the high jump? 7 feet something, maybe. How high is God's expectation? God's expectation and standard for living for you and I is way higher than that. We can't even attain it. We can't see it. But God has that standard for his children. And he tells us, we have all sinned and fallen short of his glory, of his standard, even though he calls us children of God. He calls us those children. We're his children. We're special. Each and every one of us. Because he sent his son to die for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son into death so that all who believe in him would not perish or die but live everlasting. That's amazing. That's an amazing thing for God to say to those who have fallen away from him, who have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We don't want to color it over, sugarcoat it, but we have sinned. I have sinned against my wife. She has sinned against me. I have sinned against my children. I have sinned against me and against God. I have sinned. I have stubbed my toes more than once. I have done ugly things. And if you were to go back into my history in high school, I wasn't a very nice person. Some people thought I wasn't very nice. So there's a picture of me in the yearbook that isn't very flattering. They tied me up with packing tape and put me in the middle of the football field of homecoming. Now, if that wasn't embarrassing, I don't know what is. But they did that horrible deed. I was a horrible person, but God still loves me. He loves me with an immense love that only God can share. And He calls us His children. Children who stray. Children who come back to Him. Children that He grabs hold of and brings back. We were on our way down, we were listening to this Christian radio station, and I missed the phrase, and Karen says, "We don't hold on to God, He holds on to us." That's what happens. God holds on to us, and He holds on to us through the power of His Holy Spirit. We are His children. We are loved by Him. And being those children, He gave us new life in Christ. The Apostle Paul writes, 5th chapter, 17th verse, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." We're new children of God in Christ. And when I talk about new children, I want you to think, and it's hard to think because we haven't had any snow on the ground. There's still some green leaves on trees and everything. But I want you to imagine the barren dirt of springtime. And I want you to imagine that tulip poking up out of the ground, bursting forth with that color, whatever color it is, red, yellow, purple, whatever color, it just bursts. Forth that color. That's who you are. You're bursting forth the color of Christ. And Christ gave you a new life. We like to pin labels on people. We like to call them Republicans, Democrat, Independent, Green Party, whatever. We like to call people who they are. Reverend, Father, Doctor, Pastor, they all mean the same. There's one special term, children of God. There was a grandma in church with her grandson. And they were sitting there, and the pastor was preaching. And he says, "Grandma, we're talking about names. What's your name?" "Well, my sister calls me Sis. My kids call me Mom. My real name is Alice. But I got a special name that the pastor calls me." And he said, "What name is that?" And she said, "Child of God." We are all children of God. Given the power to become new children of Jesus. One of my favorite verses in the scriptures is Galatians 2, verse 20. "For I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live in the flesh, but I live by the power and strength of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me." That's an amazing verse because it tells me who I am. And it tells each of us who we are. That we're precious and valuable. And being those valuable children, we have a purpose. I thought my purpose was going to be a doctor. Well, I did achieve that, but not the purpose I thought. I had a doctor friend in St. Luke's Hospital in Duluth. They came up to me and he said, "Scott, you make a great doctor." I said, "Dr. Boyer, you gotta go through school. You gotta do all these classes and everything." "No problem, you'll get through just fine." I failed at that. That was terrible. So then I thought I would become a nurse, just like my mother. She was a model for me. To be a nurse, to be cared. I sat around this table and Nurse Blair was sitting on the end. Everybody feared her. She was the head of the school. She said, "Scott, you got impeccable credentials. Dr. Boyer is there recommending you, but we can't take you on. You haven't had any biology or chemistry or anything." Right? That door was closed. I wanted to become a physician's assistant. That door was closed. I wanted to become a medical tech, and shortly after we were married, I went to St. Cloud State, and I took a class called chemistry. I failed that class. I was searching and searching and searching. I became a respiratory therapy technician. They called us tank jockeys. I wasn't too happy with the job, so I did a lot of praying. God opened up the door to the ministry. And my dear wife said, "This is it, Scott. No more searching, no more jumping around. This is it." The Lord had a purpose. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. The one purpose that He has given us is to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, as our personal Lord and Savior, who died and rose again to give us eternal life. We may be like that veteran that stood up in the American Legion convention and screamed, "Anyone, tell me who I am." And when we do, we can all say that you are a child of God, redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ, given eternal life, forgiveness of sins, in Christ's holy name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.